Well, that's a brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's corner, Giroud!
Wow, this Fatima with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes to DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome everybody.
Welcome
to our Deadline Day show.
Yeah.
Even though Deadline Day happened last week, Thursday.
Yes.
But this is our Deadline Day show.
Yes.
We're gonna talk about. We're gonna go through the top transfers.
Yes.
And some talks around them. But this is the VAR show. And you're listening to the one, the only, the exciting DJ Stones. And with me here was
the Jaboni Beatty.
Uh-huh.
Pahiri.
Uh-huh.
Chill Blazing.
Uh-huh.
Eyebrow Raising.
Uh-huh.
Every week on the VR show, DJ Sticks is here to, you must know,
DJ Stones with us. And we are about to give you an electrifying show.
Yes.
But before we do, let us listen to these electrifying tunes.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
We are back. Yeah, we are back. Yeah. Now let us begin. So it was transfer season, you know, the beginning of the season.
Yes.
Transfer window came up. Now, I don't know, where should we start? Should we go through like some of the top transfers?
Yeah.
And then we'll talk regular like transfer stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is according to Transfer Market. These were the top deals that happened this window.
Throughout this window.
It's not based off of market value or the amount spent.
Yeah.
It's based off, obviously, of how good the transfer was.
Yeah.
So the first one, number one, is Erling Haaland from a Dortmund to Man City.
Oof. Yeah. Now, this was a deal that was secured, like, last season already.
Yeah.
Towards the end of last season, we already knew where he was going.
Yep.
What a signing.
What a signing, indeed.
What a signing he's proving to be.
Yep.
What more can you say?
It's quite crazy because the amount of teams, and I guess this kind of happens for a lot of big players, like even Neymar. I think Neymar was supposed to end up in like an Aston Villa or West Ham or something.
Yeah.
But they were like, nah, he's not Premier League quality. Mm-hmm. And it's the same. I read a article today at Sean Dyche, I think when he was with Swansea Roy Hodgson.
Oh, yes.
I think Roy Hodgson, either when he was at Swansea or Crystal Palace, had the chance to either sign or loan Haaland.
Whoa.
And he said, no, he's not physical enough for the Premier League.
Whoa.
And it's crazy. You know?
Okay.
United had multiple times where they could have signed Haaland, you know? And all times they're like, no.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm going into United right now. And, you know, I guess that's one of the biggest problem with United. You know, people will say, you know, but the Glazers spend money. You know, we've spent money.
Yeah, you have.
But the problem is we don't buy the right players. You know, we buy players for their names.
Okay.
And it's not... Haaland would have been a flipping good signing, you know.
Yeah.
And you look at the case of Greenwood. We need a young striker who can take over.
Oh,
Alanga is doing okay, and he could do better.
Yeah, no.
He's gonna be surrounded with a lot of big talent.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's like Greenwood was a natural born striker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Haaland is a natural born striker.
And I think one thing that you'll see between Greenwood and Haaland is something that's inside the both of them, and that's that confidence.
Yes.
Because even Greenwood, there was people who were complaining that he doesn't pass and stuff like that, which is bad. But I mean, like, you want a striker who's just like hungry for goals.
Yeah, I think in the beginning Lewandowski didn't pass.
No.
And the problem is, you know, and this is where the problem also came out. We played him wrong. He was a center striker. I don't know why you're making a center striker go play in the wing, and then we get shocked when he doesn't pass.
Yeah.
You know.
A striker.
He's a striker. But anyway, we're not talking about him.
Yeah, no.
So that number two, and this is the one I'm excited for.
Okay, cool.
The second, according to transfermarket.co.za, the second best transfer is Anthony going to Man United for 95 million.
Oh!
Now, okay, pros. Let's start with the pros. Let's start with the cons, because I always speak bad about United. At least let me end with something good.
Okay, cons.
The cons, we could have gotten him for 35. That's the biggest con. We could have gotten him for flipping 35 million.
Yes.
But then we did what United does best, and we made the other club angry.
Mm.
We waited. We put all our money in the De Jong basket, and his price slowly went up.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't because of outside pressure, we wouldn't have had, our transfer would have stopped at Casemiro.
Yeah.
And that for me is the biggest con.
Yeah.
Because now what could potentially happen is by the end of the season, we could potentially have a 95 million euro flop. And I hope not. He seems confident for me. Mm. He seems like he's going to get the job done. You know, we're not going to have a Liverpool situation with Juan Nunes.
Wait.
He's only 22, so we can give him time, you know.
Yeah.
We can give him time, probably when he hits. And this is what I like about the top three, top four transfers, top five transfers. As you're going to go through them, you're going to realize their age. And what's nice about these transfers is that these are the next generation of footballers.
No, they are.
You know?
These
are the ones where, it's a four-year deal with the potential of with the option to raise it to 5 years. You know? Maybe, like with Haaland. I don't think Haaland, I might be wrong. But I don't think Haaland will break the 25 mark goals this season. I don't think he's going to stay as Golden Boots. I believe someone like your Salahs are probably going to win it when they switch on. Mm-hmm. Like a Bernardo Silva could win it. People who are, like, who've been in them. Maybe even Mitrovic, you know. He seems like he's on scoring form now. He scored, I think, in almost every Fulham game this season so far.
He's crazy.
He's been on scoring form. But with the likes of Anthony and Erling Haaland, when we hit 2024, 2 years from now, they could be tearing up the Premier League.
They'll be tearing the league up.
Even Duarte Nunes, he's only 23.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's your thoughts on this before I go to the next one?
Look, man. I've been watching him at Ajax, and I think this is a very good signing for United. It also adds a bit of a threat, like more of a threat on that right side.
Because
on the left side, you have like a lot of players who can play there. Martial can play there. Rashford can play there. Sancho, Ronaldo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So on the right side, you have someone who's left-footed, which is also different. Who's going to he has speed. He has incredible dribbling skills. Yeah. He can pass. He can shoot.
Yeah.
So it's just a threat, like overall threat.
Yeah.
So it's good.
And I think, again, like I said, it'll always be good for Alanga as well, because now he's around people like your Anthony's, Ronaldo's, Sancho's. And it makes the... Obviously, the one thing I'm upset with, that we never got a centre striker.
Like a full-on
centre striker. And now, you know, Ronaldo, obviously, with age, and then you have Martial with injury. So I see already they're trying to do it. They're trying to convert Rashford into a centre forward. And not a huge fan of it. Under Solskjaer, they tried. Didn't work too well.
Yeah.
And then we ended up bringing in Ighalo even. Which was also a dumb transfer. But anyway, looking at this transfer. Number three is Wesley Fofana from Leicester to Chelsea for 80 million euros.
I think this is a good one.
Yeah.
Potentially, it can flop. But I see it as a good signing. He's still young. And you have people at Chelsea, or someone like Thiago Silva, who's been like one of the best centre-backs for a long time now.
Yeah.
You have Koulibaly, who's one of the best centre-backs right now. Not in his best form, but yeah, when Koulibaly switches on and adapts to the league, he's a very good player. So Fofana, around those type of guys, it's going to be really good for him. It's going to pay off, but he's a good signing for the future.
Yeah. My little two cents on it, like you said, is young. But what's weird is Chelsea was just buying defenders. It's like, what are they going to play? 6-2-1. Is that their, like, formation for the season? Damn. Okay, number four. And this was one I was very, very excited for. Tchouaméni going into Real Madrid for about 80 million, 22 years old.
Yeah.
This right here is the future of Real Madrid.
Ooh.
People like him and the other one that they got,
Camavinga,
they got last season. Yeah, those are the future of him. I think he's a brilliant signing, very composed young player. And I see a lot of good ball coming out of him.
Yeah. Look, I think it would have worked better for him if he at least had like one season where he had someone like Casemiro watching over him. But yeah. Since Casemiro's departure, I think he's the main CDM now.
I think he shares it with Camavinga.
Okay, yeah, which is also good. So I think hopefully he mans that position now when he's still young.
Yeah.
And then develops in the role.
Yep.
I think it's good that he'll get more playing time.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Then at number five was Duarte Nunes going into Liverpool for 75 million euros. So about, what is the thing, was 100 million pounds, something like that. For me, so far I'm not impressed.
The red card.
Not just the red card, overall performance, you know. Even like in the Merseyside derby. I expected a flippin' deadly attacker.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I expected, I guess, and I'm saying this because we've said this before, Luis Diaz has set the standard. He came in January, he molded into the sides very well, and he went in.
Goodness.
You know, and obviously it doesn't make Duarte Nunes' job easier that Salah's off form. Mm. But, I don't know, I think, like, I compare him to the likes of Erling Haaland, who he was compared to when he got signed. Haaland is already at 9 goals.
10
goals.
Yeah.
You know? And where's, how many goals does Dwao Nunes have?
No, one. He's one. The first against Fulham.
I think it's two goals this whole season so far. With the Community yes. Shield as well.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I saw a tweet this morning. Was it this morning? No, I saw a tweet Sunday morning where it says, like, Dwao Nunes is a downloaded version of Lukaku, but the download stopped at 46%.
Oh, my goodness. Wait. Hold on a second, people. I think with him, let's give him more time.
Obviously, like I said, with a lot of the people in this list, I said what the top five, and he's at number five, right?
Yeah.
I said they're going to obviously need time, and then they're going to tear up.
And obviously with him, we should remember that this isn't the best Liverpool side. We're losing someone like Mane, which was a blow, you know? Like, imagine if Haaland came into City and then De Bruyne wasn't there.
Like, yeah, well, you would still gonna have people like Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, but look at those assists, though.
The same way he'll still have people like Thiago. He still has people like Salah. Even though Salah isn't playing too great, his passing game is still on point.
But it did affect the team in some form.
Nunes, I mean not Nunes, Diaz. Diaz is still pushing, you know. Firmino is still looking good.
Firmino is on fire.
My biggest problem again with him is that, well, it's not a problem with him. He needs to adapt faster.
Yeah,
that's all we can say.
That's the Premier League for you.
Yep. Or else, because if by the end of this season, if he's not showing good numbers, they're going to have to buy another striker.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to buy another striker.
Yeah, for sure.
Number six is Casemiro going to Man United. I think this is one of the best signings this season, because Man United finally got a freaking defensive midfielder. It is so annoying, and this is in any club that does this, I hate it. It's annoying to watch, where you have two players playing a defensive midfielder's job. So we had McTominay and Fred becoming one player to play as a defensive midfielder. That's two positions.
Yeah.
That just stops your gameplay.
Does.
You know, it stops your gameplay big time.
Oh.
Because what happens now is that you're becoming a bit more defensive, but you lose your midfield because your midfield can't hold the ball.
Yeah.
And to add on to that, you know, they also can't play a passing game. So both Fred and McTominay's passes are not the best in the world, I think. Yeah, they're very interesting passes. You know, but then you give the ball to Eriksen, you give the ball to Casemiro, and then it just allows for smoother passes, you know, better play.
Yeah.
Even Martinez's passing is very on point. And what I'd like to see is, when we need to be more attacking, we can trust Casemiro at the back, and we can add more attacking-minded midfielders, you know?
Yeah.
Which is very, very good.
I think for me, this was a brilliant signing, a brilliant, brilliant signing, because that DM role was one of the main roles that wasn't working for Man United, and I like how they solved it by buying like one of the best DMs in the game.
Yep.
And literally, Casemiro is a no-nonsense player.
Yep.
He's a no-nonsense
guy. He stops the play.
His sayings that he likes to say is that simply, I get the ball, and I pass it to guys who can play.
Yes.
That's literally what he said. From Casemiro, I get the ball and I pass it to guys who can play.
Yes.
And that's what Man United needs. They need that.
And they have guys who can play, you know?
No nonsense guy.
Yep.
Hopefully when he gives the ball to Bruno doesn't shoot.
Yes, just Bruno pass the ball. Bruno Fernandes, if you're hearing this, or if any of his friends are hearing this, can he stop shooting out the box unnecessarily? There are times when you shoot, and there are times where just look for the run, man. There are people running.
Yes,
anyway,
there are.
At number seven, this is called the Newcastle's Kun Aguero.
Oof. Okay.
And this is Alexandre Isak.
Literally, this guy came in last week.
And he scored.
And he scored. He scored two goals. One was disallowed.
And he's a freaking baller.
He's a finish.
I'm so mad that United didn't go for him.
He's crazy. He's the confidence that his first goal that he scored, not even a smile on his face. Like, he just runs. hands in the air, cool. And I'm like, this guy came to score.
He came to be he's going to be a problem.
This
he's
guy.
Also only 22 years old.
Which is
Premier
crazy.
League in the next year and a half will be freaking exciting.
Literally, records are in danger.
Yep, they're going to be broken.
With these guys.
Because they get, I can imagine with him playing with the likes of Maximum and Bruno, I forgot that his surname now.
Guimarães or something.
Yeah. The provision that's going to be coming to him will be crazy.
If people like Saint Maximum, who are actually not selfish, yes, he dribbles, but he'd rather pass than shoot. Which is
and they got him for about 70 mil. His market value was 30. If United went for him, we could have gotten him for like 50 or 60.
Yeah, he would have pushed for the transfer.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Because also, I think Aguero came in when he was also 22, 23. So, yeah, records are going to be in danger here, man.
Yep. I can't wait to see.
Oh, my goodness.
It's exciting. Number 8 was Matthias De Ligt from Juventus to Bayern Munich. I don't feel Juventus, you know?
Yeah.
And I think them selling Matthias De Ligt was a bad idea.
I think it was with someone like Chiellini leaving
his last season, you know?
This was.
But it's a great win for Bayern Munich, you know?
Yeah, I also think the player also wanted the move.
Yep.
Maybe life in Italy is not as glamorous.
Yep.
Good signing for Bayern. I don't think it would have made a big difference to the league performance. But
maybe for UEFA, because you know now you have Upamecano and De Ligt at the back,
definitely.
With Alonso next to them.
Yeah, I won't even talk about the attack.
You know, we won't even get to the attack. No. We'll get to the attack very soon because he's at number 10. But at number 9, we have Raheem Sterling going to Chelsea for 56 million. I think this might have been a mistake for City, eh?
For City?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's brilliant for Chelsea. Reason why I think it's a mistake for City, your players could get injured, you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah, look.
If Haaland gets injured, who plays centre for you?
No one.
Gabriel Jesus is gone.
Yeah.
Sterling is gone.
No, yeah.
You have to now go and play that false nine with De Bruyne again.
Hopefully train Foden up. Yeah, I think Sterling... Yeah, Sterling should have stayed. But he wanted
games.
Yeah, he wanted the move. And when Haaland came in, I think he saw that no man.
Mm. And this is not their number 10, but I'm going to make him a shared number 10 with Sadio Mane. So I'll call Sadio Mane first. So Sadio Mane going to Bayern Munich for 32 million.
I think this is an incredible signing for Bayern Munich.
I think it's a very good signing.
He's.
I think once the Bayern Munich forwards finally get in sync, it's going to be some dangerous football.
Oh my goodness, because Bayern already has that culture of like everyone is scoring.
Yep.
That sort of, they enjoy assisting as well, which I think is something that Thomas Müller put in, especially with that kid, Musiala.
Ooh, Musiala.
That guy, an assist and a goal. You won't see the difference from, he's happy to assist and to score.
Yep.
So I think that culture at Bayern Munich is just scary. People like Sané who can, oh my goodness. And I think Mane is that guy as well.
Yep. And because you even look at their squad, there's no proper center forward.
No, there's
like
no
first team center forward.
It's just guys who are hungry for goals.
You know, Müller playing is a second striker. You have Coleman who's a right wing, Gnabry right wings, Sané is a left wing, Mane is a left wing.
Oh my goodness. Just guys who are hungry for goals. Man.
Yep.
It's crazy.
And for me, my shared number 10 has to be Gabriel Jesus.
I think he should have been further up, though. I mean, further down or up. What? Down?
Yeah, I think
he should have been top 5, man.
He should be probably sharing with Tchouaméni there, you know? I think because it's a very brilliant move for his career.
Oh,
it's a very brilliant move for Arsenal. Do I think Arsenal's going to win the league? No. Do I think Arsenal's going to be top 4? Potentially. Potentially, I can see them making top 4. Chelsea and Liverpool are not having too great of a season.
Chelsea.
Obviously, Liverpool at the end is going to find a way to slip in.
Yeah.
I think Man United could slip into top 4.
It's a tough season.
And I think the season is tough, not because the competition is harder. I think it's tough because the competition is gone. Like, all the teams have gotten, like, a huge weak link, you know. And we're going into World Cup time, so a lot of players are trying to not get injured because they want to make it, especially the teams that have a lot of World Cup playing sides, I mean, players in there. I feel like the closer we're going to get to December, the less hard they're going to play so they can reserve themselves for the World Cup.
That's why I think Man City has a cheat. Because someone with like Haaland, who plays...
Who's not playing...
You know...
But no, but at the end of the day, Belgium is there, but De Bruyne wouldn't want to get injured. You know? Portugal's there. Oh, no, Portugal is not yet there. We don't know yet. Did they play their finals?
I think Portugal went through, but they were third place in their qualifying.
Yeah, I remember they were supposed to be the
World playoffs.
Yeah, they
did make it through. I think they did make it through. Okay, we'll just check our facts and just.
Yeah, actually, I don't remember now. It's what, World Cup, right?
Yeah.
But it would be quite crazy because, you know, our players don't want to. They don't want to get injured. You know,
Portugal. I think
Portugal did make it because I remember the teams coming out.
Italy didn't make it.
Yes, Italy didn't make it. They got, and it was, I remember, yeah, Portugal did make it. I remember that we were looking. We thought that the playoff finals was gonna be, you know, Italy versus Portugal, and then Italy gets knocked out.
So
I think that's what's gonna make also the season very hard. You know,
Cancelo's gone, Ruben Dias is gone, Bernardo is gone.
So like, ooh, teams are gonna not wanna. Team players are not going to want to get injured. You know? So, as we get closer to after December, it's going to be like it's a different season. New league. It's going to be like a whole new league.
Yeah.
Freaking hell. If teams don't watch out, this could be a season where a team like freaking West Ham, Newcastle. Freaking Brighton could win the league. Because now you're coming back. We don't know what's going to happen this World Cup.
Because most of the top of your top six sides are going to lose players.
Your players are going to come back injured. Players are going to come back tired. While their players are having an extra holiday. A holiday for them to go train.
Hmm.
They're probably going to play some sort of pre-seasons and stuff. Like, you know, mid-season, pre-season games, you know.
Yeah, friendlies.
Friendlies. And they're going to come back match fit.
Woo.
Not tired, but match fit.
Yeah.
You know, whereby your players are going to come back tired. So January transfer window, I see a lot of loan deals happening, you know, trying to strengthen up your squad. Because you also don't want to do permanent deals because then you have to deal with them again next season.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a different season come January.
Still have players like Aubameyang who are still going to come back. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy league.
So my top four prediction for this season will be number one, Man City.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Arsenal. Number three, Man United. And then number four, Liverpool.
I'm going to put Man City on top. And then number two, I'll say Liverpool. And number three, I'll put United. And then four, I'll put Arsenal. Then five Spurs and then six Chelsea.
Yeah. I look at Chelsea, it's my one worry with Arsenal. You know, I think if Arsenal doesn't make it, Tottenham will make it.
Yeah.
Their depth still is not convincing.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing Europa. They're going to be playing the league.
When the storms come,
you know, let's see what happens.
I don't think they have the grit.
And Arsenal was looking great halfway through last season, you know. And then when it came to the end, they just couldn't, you know, pull that final trigger.
With United, the reason why they top three is because I feel like this is scary. The bad games, they're winning the bad games.
You know, and that's where you want to be as a team, you know. You look at Man City. You look at Man City. They are bad games. They're coming out with a draw. Yeah. Or they're winning by one goal.
Yeah.
And that's a bad game. The horrible games are the games where they lose to smaller sides.
Crystal Palace.
When they lose a game, you freaking see that it was a war to beat them.
Yeah.
It wasn't a walk in. You look at that Newcastle game.
Ooh.
And it was war for Newcastle.
Game to watch. Premier League classic.
You know?
Yeah.
And what I'm liking is with United now, what it's starting to slowly get there, where it's becoming a battle
beat
them.
That's the scary thing.
And as they get depth, you know, and also for Arsenal, it's becoming like that. But, you know, Arsenal, we haven't yet seen them play a top six side.
You know?
And that for me is my issue. So once they play with a team that hit top six last season, then we can talk.
Yes.
But that is it from us here.
Show. I enjoyed that show.
I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I know I did.
Yep.
But from me, the most electrifying, the best presenter, self-proclaimed.
Oh, my goodness.
The one, the only DJ Stones.
And with me here was?
That's DJ Sticks. And one thing about DJ Sticks is, I'm DJ Sticks, and I'm awesome. Just like this show.
He's signing out.
Peace. Peace.
Stay updated and entertained with Active FM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us. Like the posts, comment, share them out, retweet and repost. Spread the word. Active FM. Radio has never been better.